Marhaba, and welcome to the Matrix Green Pill, where real people connect.
Hello and welcome back to the Matrix Green Pill podcast. I am Hilmarie Hutchison, accompanied here today with our wonderful guest, Manar Alkhazar. Manar is a serial entrepreneur with over 12 years of tech startup experience, with 8 of those years here in the MENA region. We have a lot to discover in this episode, so let's jump right in. Manar, welcome and thank you so much for joining me today.
Thanks for having me, Hilmarie.
You're very welcome. So let's start off by hearing a little bit about your background, where you come from, and how you ended up here in Dubai.
Absolutely. So my name is Manar. I was born and raised in Germany to Syrian parents, but I've been here in the region for the past 9 years building tech startups. My background is actually in engineering and business administration, but I never worked as an engineer. So since I was in high school, I was intrigued by tech. I'm always a major geek. Taught myself coding at an early age, was building websites and selling them to local businesses at the age of 14. And I think this is what got me hooked into tech. Since then, I've been building tech businesses. So first, I had 2 tech startups in Europe and was in a cybersecurity company which exited and then came to the Middle East in 2014 to build tech businesses with Rocket Internet. Rocket Internet is a German investor behind some of the big tech success stories like Namshi and Talabat. Among others, I founded Helpling here in the Middle East, which is a marketplace for household and cleaning services. And we are currently active in 200 cities in 11 countries. I was running it for 7 years before starting Casa 2 years ago with my co-founder, Ahmed.
Incredible. So at the age of 14, you became an entrepreneur. I absolutely love that. Amazing. So then you started Casa. So what inspired you to start Casa?
I mentioned I started Casa in 2021 with my co-founder, Ahmed Suleiman, who I knew for more than a decade from Germany. And actually, we were looking to build a very different business than what Casa is today. We were building a tech-enabled 10-minute coffee delivery service. I'm always super excited about food and food and beverage. We wanted to do something in the food space. And we saw an opportunity to basically change the food industry and to compete with Starbucks. So the idea was to do delivery only in sub-brand spaces in hundreds of existing restaurants, put a coffee machine inside, get a barista, and then do delivery only of affordable, high-quality coffee. And then we talked to a lot of restaurants to partner with, but they all were complaining at a very different pain point they had. And that was procurement. One of the biggest challenges for them was dealing with procurement, availability. The process of ordering was extremely manual, time-consuming, and prone for errors. We're talking to a restaurant owner of a big restaurant here who showed us how he basically orders his supplies from his suppliers. We write it down on a piece of paper, rip off that piece of paper from the rest, take a picture of it on WhatsApp, and send it to the supplier by WhatsApp. We were like, how is it possible that in 2021, that's how big brands and big chains or big restaurants are still ordered like that? And here's the interesting thing. In the last years, we have seen massive innovation happening in the F&B industry on the customer-facing side. Yeah? So food ordering has become the poster child of our digital life web. So you order your favorite burger, your pizza, salad, whenever you want with a couple of clicks, and you receive it within 30 minutes later on your doorsteps, thanks to technology. But ironically, the very same restaurants still manage their own food procurement, extremely archaic, with phone calls, emails, and WhatsApp. Some of them, by the way, still use kilohertz. So it's basically not much different than 15 years ago. And that's where we realized a bigger opportunity, and we pivoted into what we are doing today.
That is absolutely incredible. I mean, and listen, that's the secret source of success, right? Is to find a problem and then provide a solution. From starting to wanting to create a coffee delivery service, you figured out what the pain point was, and that was procurement, and then found a solution for that. And what I love about Casa is the fact that it helps restaurants to also reduce food wastage. Can you tell us a bit more about that?
Absolutely. What Casa today is a centralized platform where restaurants can place orders digitally, track inventory, manage and pay invoices, and communicate with suppliers more efficiently than they would do it today. And also on our marketplace, we help them to source new products, to find new suppliers, literally at the tip of their fingers. Food waste is a huge issue in the whole food supply chain because a lot of these processes without Casa are extremely manual. As mentioned before, traditionally, they would be operating on a very manual form, like with phone calls, with WhatsApp. Some restaurants don't track inventory. And that's where we come in. We use technology to improve on that and reduce also on food waste. So an interesting part is that 40% of all produce is going to trash. It's a crazy number. The tons and millions of tons of produce are thrown out every single day. And the interesting part of that is that 70% of that food waste is actually happening in the food supply chain before it reaches the customer. And that's where we come in. So we digitize these processes, the food supply chain. And the way we do it is with multiple processes. One of it is we help the restaurant and the suppliers to organize better. The restaurant doesn't need to overstock. They know exactly with our algorithms, basically what they need to order beforehand. And if they need to order something on a short notice, they do it on our platform in a quicker and easier way than they would do it in a manual, old school, traditional way. With that, we have, for example, one chain we're working with, which had 50,000 pieces of salad sauce, which they had overstocked. They didn't even realize they had them. We helped them to put them on our platform, on our marketplace, and to sell them off to other users instead of like putting them or throwing them away. This is one part. Then another part also, what we see, we have a marketplace where suppliers can also put a near-to-expiry product, which otherwise often go to waste. These are like just like two of many processes we use to reduce food waste in the food supply chain.
Right. So by being streamlined and by being more organized, they're able, as you say, to, so things don't expire, so they don't have to overstock, and in that way already help in reducing food wastage. So I think that itself is a win situation that the app is creating. That's brilliant. With over 12 years of tech startup experience, what do you think has been the most valuable lessons that you've learned?
I think there are tons of lessons, and honestly, still learning every day. But I think there are two things to share. First is about hard work. Startups are often glamorized, but actually at the end of the day, it comes down to dedication, simple, hard work, speed, and patience. Eventually, it's never about having a great idea and the rest is magic. A lot of people think, I wish I had like this idea and I would have built like this and that. But actually the hard work is to bring this idea to life. And a lot of people don't see like also like that in a glamorous startup view. Building things and being an entrepreneur is extremely tough, but also incredibly rewarding. Second lesson, I think about mistakes, not to be afraid to do mistakes. At the end of the day, when building great things, you won't get it right from the first try. You are doing mistakes. We as a startup, we have a huge unfair advantage. And that's a luxury that many mistakes will be forgiven for a startup. Big companies and corporates don't have that luxury. So we try to build a culture around this, make use of that. But we also learn not to do mistakes twice.
I love that. I always say it's okay to make mistakes as long as you learn from them. Let's stick to this idea of mistakes, because we know that in fast-paced tech startups, failures are often seen as learning opportunities. Can you share maybe an experience or an encounter in where you've experienced a mistake or a setback and how you've overcome it?
Many setbacks, small and big ones, on a regular basis. It's only the question like how you deal with it. I think it's also like a big mindset question. You have a setback, you're frustrated. And I think it's also fine like to feel also that frustration. Try to see it as an opportunity for a new door open. Best example is when Castle started. We had a setback. Restaurants were telling us like, no, they don't want to stop at a place. It was a huge setback. But with that, we actually, the new or different business model was born. We learned from it. And then we said, okay, let's build something different then and give birth to our business as we have it today.
Now, you've mentioned hard work and being willing to fail and make mistakes as some of the lessons that you've learned. What are some of the key strategies and tactics that you think have contributed to your success?
I think patience and resilience are key. On your journey of disrupting markets, industries, and people, you will hear a lot of no's. And when taking on a huge challenge, you will face a lot of obstacles. The key is not to give up. To give you an idea, in the early days of Helpling, in 2015, we're going to cleaning companies to partner up with them. We're telling them about this new app where people and customers can book cleaners online. Super excited. Actually, 90 out of 100 meetings would laugh at us and kick us out. Tell us, no, why would you need this? We have a good, great business. People order by phone. That's like this whole thing was absent and so on. Why do we need it? It was extremely frustrating. Not just some days, like a lot of days you were starting to question yourself, is it like the right thing? But you need to also to adapt, to learn, okay, what are like the things? Why do they say this? And from that, we built like basically step-by-step a success story, while most of these companies today don't exist anymore. In retrospect, it all seemed too simple and easy, but never as easy as it looks. This is the same story for Talabat, for Karim. And a lot of people say like, yeah, this idea was like, obviously, I mean, if I had like this idea, would have been easy, but never easy. You need to have the resilience and patience to pull.
I agree with you. I mean, you are saying, listen here, it looks easy once it's done. Once it's successful, everyone says, wow, what a fantastic idea. I should have come up with that. But they don't realize all the hard work, all the failures, all the having to stick through it, the resilience, as you say, the patience. Because in the beginning, it wasn't easy. It was a lot of work to change people's mindsets, to change the restaurant's mindsets, to get everyone on board. It's not an easy thing to start with.
Absolutely. And on that way, I can only repeat that you need to do mistakes, but you need to learn and adapt to it quickly. And don't do mistakes. Don't be also stubborn. I think it's also being resilient doesn't mean to be stubborn. And I think that's also an important thing. Like you need to also listen to your customer, to your users. One thing we learned extremely well, I think, like from Y Combinator, it's a Silicon Valley investor whose motto is actually build something people want. And if you take this as a motto, you're actually on a pretty good track. Because like then you don't stay stubborn, but like you try to find out, okay, what people actually want. Is it companies or is it B2C users or whatever it is? Always ask yourself this question.
I think that's valuable information, valuable feedback to listen. So even when you are being turned down, be willing to listen to what your customer is saying or what the users are saying and use that as feedback to improve what your offering is. So don't just take it as negative and be stubborn and say, this is our product. This is how we're going to do it. Be willing to make those changes. And probably at the end of the day, you come up with a better product that people will actually want to use. Excellent insights. As an entrepreneur, surely you've got a million things on your plate. How do you manage your time effectively and prioritize your personal well-being while leading a startup?
I can comfortably say that I'm still not great at it. So I'm still improving on that. But one thing I recently rigorously tried to prioritize is sleep, and with it, health. Sleep is just so crucial for healthy decision-making. And without it, you won't work, the company won't work, your team won't work. So I try like to prioritize this. The problem is often in reality that's easier said than done. So I try like to find like ways to gamify myself into it. I'm a tech geek, so the Whoop has helped me actually to track like my health and sleep better. But that's like basically something where at least I try. The interesting thing is that this sleep advice actually came from a candidate I interviewed a couple of years ago. So whenever I interview candidates, I try to find out what inspires them. And with this candidate, Mattia, was interviewing for a marketing role. She really loved books. And I asked her, what's the most inspiring book she came across recently? And the book she recommended was Why We Sleep by Matthew Walker. So I assume this book was actually kind of like a green pill moment for herself, but surely became the green pill moment, at least for my health journey myself.
That's brilliant. To gamify your sleep. I have exactly the same problem. I know how important sleep is. I've read all about sleep hygiene and making sure you get that, your 7 to 8 hours. But I sometimes find it really, really difficult. And I love the idea of gamifying that. It's brilliant. One other thing I want to ask about, just to change direction a little bit. To have a successful business, you need a good, strong team around you. That's crucial. You also just mentioned about interviewing somebody for a role. So what do you look for when creating your team?
I say it's actually pretty simple. So you look for highly passionate people who want to have an impact. You give them a great vision and purpose and autonomy to build and do things, including the autonomy to do mistakes. We used to have that thing, going back to mistakes again, we used to have that thing to celebrate mistakes. So whenever someone did a mistake in our team, we'd all get up and clap and literally celebrate the mistake. And with that, we took away basically the pressure from people hiding things or mistakes. And at the same time, we made sure the whole team learned from this mistake. No one basically repeats it, ideally in an optimal case, or does a mistake basically twice. And that's something which you need like also to live down to the team to allow that autonomy. Together with a vision and purpose, we believe you can build then something amazing.
I love that. So you're looking for highly personable people. So the EQ factor. So you didn't say you're looking for highly skilled people or highly educated people. Having the right personality, having the right cultural fit is more important.
So we believe that smartness and intelligence beats experience. We are doing things differently. So we don't want people who have been doing the same thing for the last 30 years who tell you, no, this doesn't work like this way. when people will say, like, who question things, who question, like, the status quo of an industry or the market of, like, a product of a service or whatsoever. We look for smart people, not necessarily for, like, the most experienced, but, like, people who combine smartness with a passion for impact.
I love that. So people who are willing to challenge how things are and willing to change and adapt to things as they are changing, because especially in tech, right, things are changing all the time. It's not stagnant. What advice would you give to aspiring entrepreneurs who are looking to make their mark in the tech startup industry, especially in the MENA region?
One thing is having the humbleness to realize that you don't know it all and to stay hungry to learn and grow. Don't go like for the short win, but like go for something bigger and with an impact. Impact matters. Building something which positively impacts thousands, millions, if it's only hundreds of people, it's not an easy journey, but incredibly rewarding. And impact can be on so many different levels. So it can be you impacting industry, impacting your customer, but also internally, you're impacting your team, impacting people on all kind of levels. One advice is having the humbleness to realize that you don't know it all and stay hungry to learn and grow and not to go for the short win. To build something bigger, which has an impact, I think is important. So building something which positively impacts thousands and millions of people is not an easy journey, but incredibly rewarding. And impact can be on so many different levels. It's externally, you're impacting industry, you impact the customers, also internally. So you're impacting your team, you're impacting investors and all the relationships in between. One thing also always to keep in mind is don't forget to enjoy the ride and not the goal. As an entrepreneur, you're usually in it for the long term and not for a short. So if you don't enjoy that, you will have a hard time to go through it on a longer time period.
I think that's excellent advice, to enjoy the journey, to not be so focused on the goal, on the finish line, that you forget to be present in what's happening around you at this moment. I think that's excellent. Excellent tips and some excellent advice that you shared with us today, Manal. Thank you so much for that. Now we've come to the segment of our show where I'll ask you some rapid fire questions, our version of a game show. Are you ready?
I'm ready. Let's go.
Do you prefer summers or winters?
I prefer summers.
Even the heat of Dubai, no problem.
So summers still, I can escape to Europe. I love the summers of Europe.
Yeah, true. The summers of Europe are beautiful. What is your go-to comfort food?
It's ramen.
Okay. If you could invite anyone in the world for dinner, dead or alive, who would it be?
Maybe a bit predictable, but would be Elon Musk. I think he's inspiring, crazy. I think he would be a pretty good dinner guest.
I think he would be a very interesting dinner guest. I think people either love him or they hate him. So he would make for some interesting conversation, I'm sure of that. What is one thing you do every day, no matter how busy you get?
It was a new routine I actually introduced about a year ago, which is ice bath. So I'm trying to start my day. Every single day was an ice bath. And it's been helping me actually with a lot of things in terms of focus, health, and sleep.
Amazing. I've heard about that so much. I just cannot stand the idea of cold water. So I don't know. How long do you take it for?
I do somewhere between 10 to 15 minutes every morning. It's a bit of a hassle every morning to get all the ice. So I recently got an ice machine to produce ice at home. But also like the process now, I enjoy actually. Although like I also don't like the cold that much. But by now, I get really excited about the process.
Okay. Well, that was interesting. That was the end of our game show. Thank you for playing along. Before we wrap up, I'd like to ask you about your Green Pill moment. What was your Green Pill moment, the action or event that was the turning point for you or your career?
I think it was very early on building Helpline, the cleaning service. So I remember sitting in a coffee shop, having a meeting with one of our partners for the first year of Helpline. And there was a guy sitting next to us who overheard us talking about Helpline. And then out of nowhere, he started raving about his Helpline cleaner and how the other day, he said today, and since he had a dinner date actually in the evening, he didn't know like what to do and how to organize, and she helped him. It was a funny story, but I think at that moment, I realized the impact we had. We are not sitting in our offices and building something and which doesn't impact people, but also the responsibility of what we're doing. It's impacting customers and impacting partners. It affects real people. And that makes you want to succeed and way more and do the things even better you're doing.
What a fantastic story. Excellent. Thank you so much for sharing that. Thank you so much, Manav, for having been here today and sharing your wonderful journey with us. I'm so sure a lot of budding entrepreneurs out there will be so inspired by your story. Before we say goodbye, though, could you please tell our listeners where they can find and follow you? And we'll also put this in the show notes.
On our website, caaso.ai. AASO.ai, but also on all platforms, on LinkedIn, on Instagram, you can find us and learn more about what we're doing.
Super. Thank you so much for that. And thank you again for being here. It's been a fantastic conversation. I wish you all the very best.
Thank you, Hilmarie, and have a great day.
If you enjoy our conversations, please like and subscribe. See you next Wednesday.